This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Have you ever experienced a time slip? I'm talking about where it seems you're in a place or a setting that existed in a different place and time. Not that it's imaginary, it's just not there anymore, or not in the state that you're seeing it in. I've heard various stories of these sort of things over the years, from long abandoned houses, people inviting strangers in for a dinner party, only for them to find the house at a different point in time, completely abandoned, boarded up, gone. Even just a frame of the house still existing when a vibrant party was taking place just the night before. How about a coffee shop in a bustling city? One of the biggest cities in the world, in fact. Going in for dinner, enjoying the theme of a time gone by, and only to return the next night for dinner to find, wait a second. That's what happens in our next story. Time slip that no one can seem to be able to explain, yet many have experienced. Take a listen. It was a few years now, back in 1999, and I was on a rest holiday break in New York. I was 26 years old, just divorced from my first wife, and because the settlement had just been finalized, I decided to take a break for a week. I was tired and stressed at work. Thankfully, my boss understood at the time and recommended I go to New York. It was baseball season. He and I are both Yankees fans. I thought I'd catch a game while I was there. Turns out the Yankees were in Cleveland that week, though. Sadly, it wasn't until 2001 that I got to see them play live. Again, while on holiday. Not that it mattered, as it turned out I had enough excitement on this holiday to last a lifetime. And it came in a very odd way, at least to me, as I hadn't previously ever experienced anything like this before. I was low on huge funds, so a friend of mine recommended I stay in a cheap, sadly not too clean, and a bit sleazy hotel motel in the East Village. I can't remember its name, sadly, but the hotel was old and had clearly seen much better days. I didn't plan on doing much but sleep there, as I had a lot I wanted to do in just a few days. I'm a museum and art gallery buff, and as New York has some of the best of both, I was going to spend time visiting them. After learning the Yankees were interstate for the week, I went to find something else to do and wound up seeing a Broadway show, matinee of all things, on my first full day in New York. The show was Cats, and I really thought it was worth my time going, even though it was the first real theater show I'd been to, besides my school productions, which I always got stuck into performing in. I hated it. It was more fun to watch the show. Anyone going to New York, I recommend you go to a theater show. If you're lower on funds, the matinees are a better chance. There's often isn't a massive amount of people, and you can get good seats, as I did. Second row, dead center. Couldn't ask for a better if I tried. Anyway, enough warm-up talk, down to business, the reason I'm writing you the story. I'd been in New York 4 days, so the 8th I'd be there. Found myself back in the East Village around 5 p.m. in the evening, and I was feeling hungry. I'd had a busy day visiting the Museum of Natural History, which I really think is fantastic, and was deciding between going to go and eat, then go to my room to rest for a couple of hours and see what happens from there. Go get something to eat, go shower, change, keep on finding out things to do. After much thinking, I'd see how it went after having something to eat as my stomach was rumbling. After a change of clothes in my room, I went out to look for a nice little place to eat, somewhere quiet, relaxed, walk from the hotel and turn to the walkway. At my right, I started hunting down a cafe. A lot of places I tried were overrun and had no empty tables till much later in the evening. So I kept looking. Can't remember the name of the street or how I got there from my room. All I know is that it was still in the East Village. That I remember only by sight and landmarks how to get there from my room. This was prior to 9/11 and there were a lot of people out enjoying the nice warm night. I don't know what made me stop and look at this one place, but when I saw it, I first thought, how cool. a 60s-style coffee house, like cafe. A little surprised that this place, which looked so warm and welcoming, was not overrun with customers. There's only about 4 to 5 other people sitting at nearby tables, eating, drinking sodas, laughing happily in what looked like serious discussion. I walk in the door to look in further and barely got there when a lady with almost waist-length strawberry blonde hair and a long skirt, pleasant-style 60s shirt came over and asked me if I'd like a table. The atmosphere felt so welcoming that I just couldn't say no. So I was taken into this table along the side wall that had placings for two and was asked to take a seat. She took my drink order, left, and quickly returned with my Coca-Cola and a menu. First thing I noticed, that the Coke was in an old-fashioned glass bottle with the brand name on the glass. I hadn't seen one like that since I was a kid in the mid-1970s. They were dumped empty ones. I thought how cool this is, that maybe Coke has made a special limited edition of bottles again for an anniversary or something. I drank some and it tasted cold and good, just what I needed after all that time running around today. Looked over the menu I've been given, the food on offer looked good and the prices were unbelievably cheap. When the waitress came back, I ordered the chicken burger with fries, and while waiting, looked around at the others in the cafe. Two guys with their girlfriends who looked like rock musicians with their long hair. They smiled at me as I sat down. A man by himself in a tie-dyed shirt and bandana. Another couple who was older, like in their 50s, who looked a little out of place, as I guess I did. And a man about my age with long hair, sitting playing a guitar in between bites of his salad plate. His music he was playing clearly sounded vaguely like 60s hippie music. I was starting to enjoy it by the time my burger and fries came. The meal tasted fantastic, loads of flavor, lots of it for the price. After eating the main meal, I got another Coke and ordered an equally cheap but extremely tasty chocolate cake for dessert. It was brilliant. Meanwhile, I looked around, me fascinated with the amazing detail of this so authentic-looking 60s-style cafe. The table had candles and glass holders, flickered warm glow. There were lights on the roof, but they were obviously dimmed to give the place a relaxed feel. There was a mural on the wall with people dancing, rainbows, musicians, animals, plants, etc. It looked very high quality, like a famous artist had done it or something. The place just looked brilliant. The people there looked and seemed friendly. I wondered how long this place had been here and if it had actually been around since the 60s. There's a lot of things like shops, galleries, etc. have been open 30 plus years. When the chocolate cake arrived, the waitress smiled at me again as she had done other times at night and said to me while looking at my then new Ray-Ban sunglasses in aviator style, she said, "Groovy glasses, man." I tried hard not to laugh, realizing that if this is a place that's set up as a 60s cafe, I thought she was just playing out of the character of the times, and I thanked her. After I finished my meal and asked for and paid the check, the whole $3.25. I was shocked at how cheap this huge portion meal was, and I left a $5 tip. I'm sure the lady probably thought I was crazy. It was well worth every dime. After I said my goodbye to her, I asked if I could make a dinner placement to tomorrow night. She, of course, said yes, and in a book near the counter where I paid my bill, and I left for the night. On the short walk home, I found myself thinking about this unusual cafe, thinking too how lucky I was to find a non-overcrowded cafe with good cheap food, friendly staff, and nice surroundings. The cafe felt so warm, friendly, welcoming. Nothing really seemed odd. A little too fitting with the 60s maybe, but that was because it was themed. So I thought. For the first time in a long time, I slept a sleep broken by strange dreams I can't recall, much other than it seemed I was in that cafe. Only now I was old, dilapidated, and unloved. I thought little of it. So I put down the fact I was just in a new place and I was just getting used to the weird hotel and the strange shadows that it had. Anyway, the next day, I again spent in the city's various culturally diverse galleries and market stalls, Little Italy, Chinatown, and some other various well-known visitors' hangouts, and was again now tired and hungry and looking forward to a nice dinner at the cafe that night. So again, went to my room to change, freshen up, left to make my reservation. And that's when I got the biggest shock of my life. I reached the cafe early by 10 minutes, but still, I wouldn't be ever able to eat there. Where we sure I'd left a great cafe the night before was a dark, empty, boarded-up storefront with smoke damage around its frame. All the windows and the door were very roughly boarded over, and it looked like it had been that way for years and years. Thinking I must have had the wrong place, I walked up and down, back and forth across two blocks, nearly getting my poorly functioning mental compass really confused. For over 2 hours I looked, not one place I saw was even close. And after fruitlessly hunting for 2 hours, I gave up my search and vowed to investigate it in the good light of the day. And I found a McDonald's to eat in instead. The next day, let's just say things got plain strange. Again, I retraced my steps, looking up and down, back and forth over the same area I had the night before, and could still only find that badly covered over empty, dark, cold, boarded up shop with some smoke damage on the walls on the outside, beside the window frames, like the fire had blown out the windows at some time. I was standing, looking at the empty store, when a lady in her 60s asked me if I had seen the place too. I told her what had happened the night before, and she told me she herself had experienced the cafe after it had long closed, as I had the night before. And she went on with my probing to tell her that yes, there had been a 60s coffee shop there in real life. And it had been very popular. It served really good food, cheap. The problem was, the cafe hadn't been open in that place since the big kitchen fire during closing hours in 1974. No one was hurt or killed, and no one could explain why it happened. The owners had no funds to fix it and sold the store and left the area. The next people redid over the shop. Each time someone moved in, they didn't last long. Eventually, after many years of bad luck with shops there in the building, the owner decided to sell it. Another fire made it impossible. The building was declared unsafe and had been boarded up empty for the past 15 years at the time I saw the long-gone cafe there that night. Was it a time slip I got lost in for a couple of hours? Most people I've spoken to seem to think it was, and I apparently wasn't the only one besides that old lady to have caught up in it. There's been as many as 7 others who have had dealings with a long-shut place. Not that anyone other than that one old lady would tell me anything, as much as I tried to find out. Most people tried to dismiss my question or laugh at me, saying I was seeing things. One old guy asked me if I was high. I've never taken drugs in my life. Another, a lady in her 80s, I'm guessing, demanded curtly I stopped asking about that damned filthy hippie drug user cafe that keeps on showing up. Clearly, she had seen it since it had shut too, but dead set refused to talk about it to me. And the last guy I talked to gave me a filthy look and muttered something about fan tourists. I thought I'd leave the street, go do more tourist things before I got any more upset and got arrested or something. I tried looking the place up on the internet, but because I didn't know the name of the place, it didn't help much and I couldn't find anything out. Still to this day, I wonder why it happened to me and what did happen. All I know is that if I do visit New York again, I may just try to look for the cafe. With any luck, may show itself to me again. All I know is it would be worth finding again. The food there was great, very cheap. It sure got value for the money. And I'd certainly eat there again, even if I'm served by ghosts.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.